not just John Williams, but an epic larger than life. Hi, it's John. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We're here today until 11:30. Then White Sox baseball comes your way. A few notes about baseball in this swell town in just a minute. And I don't mean that sarcastically at all. What a great town, pretty day, and we got a couple of wins on the board yesterday. That hasn't happened in a while. I think it's a really interesting weekend, don't you? You've got Game of Thrones coming tonight, and so many people are so jazzed about that. You've got Star Wars, 30,000 people walking around with helmets and Princess Leia outfits on. That's a big convention in town. The new Star Wars movie trailer debuted in Chicago this weekend. Tax day is Monday. You just heard Steve Bertrand talk a little bit about that in Don's newscast. The Masters is this weekend. That's a big deal. Today's my dad's birthday. Okay, that's personal, but shout out to you, Pops. Happy birthday. See you tonight. And both teams won baseball games, which was kind of nice in Chicago. Sox are on the road. Eloy Jimenez hits a couple of home runs in the big house. How about that? That's a way to start your home run career. And the Cubs won over at Wrigley. Contreras hit a couple of home runs as well. By the way, on the upside of the Chicago baseball scene, if you add the wins from both teams, and Don, you're kind of a science and math geek. You're sort of a man about all subjects.
Yeah.
If you add the wins from both of our teams in Chicago, collectively, we have as many wins as the Brewers right now in the NL Central.
Heck yeah. That's the goal right there.
And we've got one more than the Indians in the AL Central. Our 9 would still be 4 back from Seattle's 13, but so far, so good.
Yeah, man.
That's how it works, right? You just combine as many as you can.
Wait, Chicago is tied for the lead in the NL Central. But that includes both Chicago teams. Chicago, I'm speaking collectively.
Yeah, we should do that.
Then we just revisit the argument or the conversation I had in grade school. What do you call a team when you combine both the Cubs and the White Sox? Are they the polar bear Cubs? Are they the white Cubs? Or are they the Cubs Sox? You know, what are they?
Baby Sox.
Most people don't even want to think about that because there's such a dividing line between the two.
Well, I was actually just thinking about this, and maybe I shouldn't be so candid about this, but I'll just say I've been having like a dark night of the soul about Chicago baseball, where I've been a Cubs fan for my life, basically. Never a huge fan, but always a casual, and that was always where my allegiance lay. But there are things mounting right now, just a number of different things, all manner of things, that just make me care less and less about the Cubs. So the Sox are right there, and we have them on WGN. All the more reason to become a fan, but I just am struggling to jump, I'll just be honest.
Struggling to jump?
From one team to the other.
You don't want to be that kind of guy.
Well, I don't know. It's just, it's not that easy to do. And I was thinking, if we just had one team, I would be like a huge baseball fan in Chicago. And instead, I feel like torn between two.
That's interesting.
Something that I'm going through.
No, that's interesting because it's sort of the worst of both worlds. There'll always be a team to not like. And right now, the team that you've always liked, you're a little dismayed with.
But I've got a lot of history with not liking the Sox.
I know, right.
It's hard to let all that go.
Well, and it makes so much sense because, Griff, you're such a huge Bears, Bulls, and Blackhawks fan.
I know.
There's only one option, right?
Exactly.
We got, you know, listen, the Bears and Bulls are idle right now, or and the Blackhawks, which is kind of sad. So we're left with these two baseball teams. And the Sox got off to a predictable start. The Cubs are, some people say, well, I told you, but it's too soon to say, right? But the Cubs have been dismaying on a number of fronts. And Griffin, I got let me see if I wrote it down. I got a text message from a buddy of mine, kind of out of the blue today, actually a few of them. And he's just mad at Cubs Nation. He's mad at the ownership. He's mad at the handling of the players. He's mad at the performance on the field. He's just mad at the Cubs. And then he texts me, so we took him on a tour of Wrigleyville and the ballpark. We drove around the other day. And he texts me out of the blue this morning, your tour around that neighborhood, Wrigley, was like I walked into a dystopian suburban mall.
Grim.
It is starting to turn into Disney World a little bit.
Yeah, it's totally, it is completely different. Wrigleyville is like, even from 5 years ago, it's ridiculous.
Even from last year, like, last year you saw a lot of the changes, the Hotel Zachary and all of that development on Clark went up, but now on Addison you've got it as well. And if you're just coming to the ballpark for the first time today, it's going to be a beautiful day to go to Wrigley, not so much tomorrow, but if you're just, we've only had a few home games, if you're just now getting to Wrigley for the first time in a long time, it's different. I mean, there's this beautiful stretch of mall on the south side of Addison now that has a Harley-Davidson dealership, and it's beautiful, and a donut shop, and thank God we were able to get a 7-Eleven in there. And then on the second floor, they've got a Lucky Strike Social, which is a bowling alley, billiards, ping pong gallery.
I was going to say, who would have thought removing a McDonald's, a 7-Eleven, and a Taco Bell would remove so much identity from a neighborhood?
Well, that's been
so many people.
What is your point, Joe?
So many people are feeling so distant now of Wrigleyville because they can't get their Nacho Supreme before they go into the friendly confines.
Yeah, those late-night reliables.
Except for those of you who are really drunk on the north side, I just don't understand that allegiance to those kind of crummy places. The McDonald's, great franchise, but that wasn't a really good McDonald's. You know, it was kind of a crummy
McDonald's.
It was
always crowded. You could never use the bathroom.
I mean, it was just, it wasn't a good experience. It wasn't pretty.
Right.
There was nothing going on there.
It's bottom rung of the what the franchise offers.
I will say I remember being a poor high school student, and I would go to the Taco Bell and stuff a couple of tacos in my cargo short pockets and be able to walk into Wrigley with them.
That's good thinking, Joe.
It's an image I don't want to really call up, Joe.
Taco pockets.
We brought another couple of friends over to Wrigley last night because we were over on Ashland, and we went over to Zia's, the Italian restaurant, and then we came back to Wrigley just half a mile away, and we took them around, and we went over to the Hotel Zachary. I'm a bit of an expert on that because I live in the neighborhood, and I've been to the Hotel Zachary, and I've been to Dutch and Doc's, and I've been to Three Finger Mordecai and Smoke Daddy and all those places a lot. And Zachary's kind of nice. We went there and had an after-dinner drink. We shot some billiards. We sat in front of a fireplace. It was really pleasant. And these two friends loved it. They thought the whole scene was really fun. We had a real nice time. But I'm telling you, that other buddy of mine just went, oh, no, they've killed the clown. This is terrible.
Yeah,
this is bad.
I see both sides. See both sides on that one.
You're kind of like me today, Griff. You're a little foot in both camps, which is kind of where I tend to live. But you love the Cubs. You hate the Cubs. You understand the dystopian nature of Wrigleyville. Yeah, you kind of like the new, but there are some good things that have been happening over there too. Okay, enough about all of that. I just wanted to, let's do this. Let's pause, come back after a quick commercial break. There have been two Chicago area guys who have done Chicago proud. There's that James Holzhauer on Jeopardy who has won $400,000. He won over $100,000 in a day. He's just like killing it. We've got the final Jeopardy questions that he was asked. Let's see how we do. Kleppen, we're counting on you. Brand, Griffin, you're smart guys, so let's see how we do. And then that same Holzhauer guy was also, I guess he's a kind of a talk show circuit guy. He was on this TV
game show.
There's
a bunch of guys like this, I feel like.
So are you familiar with the show The Chase?
Vaguely. I mean, it's just one of those game show network shows. There's a million of them.
This one's like Jeopardy on steroids. It's really fast. Boom, 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 boom. So we'll see how he did and how we can do compared to one of the superstars. That's all coming up here on WGN. I pushed a couple of different buttons here. Actually, Krista just did. Joe, let's hear how you sound now. Are you still standing by?
Yeah, you got me, John?
Yeah, you sound terrific. By the way, you're on the road. I don't think people necessarily knew that unless they heard you and Lou talking about it. I heard your show coming in, and you sounded great. But we've put you on a different router here, so you sound fine. You are with the Kane County Cougars, where you do play-by-play for them on radio stations throughout the upper Midwest. And you've got a game today, right?
We've got a doubleheader at 1 o'clock. We took the precautionary route and already dodged tomorrow's game. So tomorrow's game is canceled. We're playing two today.
So when you get done with this, you're going to do a doubleheader?
Oh, yeah. 2 7-inning contest here at beautiful Northwestern Medicine Field.
Northwestern Medicine Field in?
Geneva, Illinois.
Yeah. By the way, Griff, let's do this. Let's play Chase One first before we go to the Jeopardy questions. On this TV show called Chase, the guy from Naperville who did so well on Jeopardy won $400,000. Previously, he was on a show called The Chase, where it's rapid fire questions and answers. We won't get a chance to respond, but just play along in your head and see if you can do as well as he did.
What singer's pop hits include I'm Yours and I Won't
Bruno
Give Up?
Bruno Mars.
Jason Mraz. What beat poet's writing was declared not
Ginsburg.
Obscene? Correct. Ocular tonometry is a pressure test that screens for what
glaucoma.
Medical condition? Correct. Near the start of the Civil War, what state was the first to secede
South
from the
Carolina.
Union? Correct. In math, an exclamation point after a number is a
Factorial.
Symbol of what function? Correct. Edgar Degas was prominent in what art movement?
Impressionism.
Correct. What 80s Kevin Costner film is known for the line, if you build it, he will come?
Field of Dreams.
Correct. Andy Samberg's TV comedy is set in the 99 precinct of what New York
Brooklyn.
Borough?
Brooklyn.
Correct. Who was the first U.S. Supreme Court Chief Justice?
John Jay.
Correct. What Yankees baseball star is nicknamed A-Rod?
Alex Rodriguez.
Correct. Since his death in 2013, whose wife Chaz writes a blog on his movie review website?
Yes.
Ebert.
So that's pretty impressive, but in all fairness, I think we could have gotten most of those right, right?
You really blew the Ebert one.
The last one.
What are you doing?
And that's what I love about it is when he starts answering mid-question so often that you start to be disappointed if he waits till the end of the question. It's like, oh, come on. You didn't know that
you had to hear
5 seconds
question?
Ago? Really? Really? But if he's a local, you know, Naperville kid.
Oh, my gosh, that's right.
He should know. Chaz Ebert writes on RogerEbert.com.
So he's got John Jay down.
We
but he doesn't.
Chaz.
He doesn't have Chaz and Ebert on the same page.
Exactly.
But, I mean, Ginsburg. I mean, name any beat poet. The only one I know is Ginsburg.
I think that he
has
ocular a mind
glaucoma.
That works that way, right? Like, it's really specialized thinking where you just are in an area and then he picks the right thing. So the area is that thing, and then what's the most famous one? That's probably the answer. He's good at that, it sounds like.
Sorry, Griff. Yeah, it sounds like there's trigger words. Like he's expecting what the question is going to be, and then he just shoots out the answer once he hears the trigger
word. If you build it, they will come. Field of Dreams.
Yeah, right?
I mean, I'm not so impressed. Brooklyn 999 or whatever that show is.
Yeah. It's really the speed is what's impressive, I think, there in that one.
Yeah.
Also, we got Jason Mraz wrong.
So you're loving that a little bit, huh?
I don't know why we're antagonizing
so the same,
him.
The same guy is on Jeopardy, and he does a week of Final Jeopardy. So you have some of the questions for us? Give us a couple at least.
Yeah, I don't
start.
Have a ton of time. Maybe
I know.
We can pick this up after the news. I'll give you one.
All right.
Because he's been on for 7 days, right? So these are I've got 7 Final Jeopardy questions.
Okay.
I think he got them all right. I got two. I knew two of them, and I'll do one that I knew because it makes me feel better. In 2000, the Russian Orthodox Church canonized 7 members of this family 82 years after their deaths.
Romanov.
Lordy, you knew that?
Don, you are correct.
Really?
Well, this is the kind of thinking you need to employ. What's a famous Russian family? I literally know one.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That was Jason Mraz. Yeah.
Jason Mraz, yeah.
Right. Okay, fair enough. So there's other ones. We'll do those after the news. Thomas Jefferson makes a brief cameo appearance in the next half hour. And something happened to me using Priceline the other day that I want to bounce off of you, see if it's happened to you, see what you think the appropriate course of action is. I don't mean to be vague, but if you've ever traveled and used Priceline, I think you'll want to hear the next half hour. First, the news. That's coming up next here on WGN. Thank you, Don Kleppen. John Williams here with Griffin Filipich, producer, Joe Brand, sports, Don in the newsroom. I'm thinking of 4 great minds. None of them here right now, but let's assemble 4 minds and let's see if we can do as well as James Holzhauer did. And the Final Jeopardy questions this week. The Chicago area native amassed $400,000. All right, just run a couple of them at us, Griff.
Sure. Okay. The director of the 2018 TV version of this 1953 classic said, yes, books were harmed in the making of this motion picture.
Fahrenheit 451. What is Fahrenheit? What is Fahrenheit 451? Are we? I'll ask the collective here. Does that sound like a right?
I don't even know. I was going to say House on the Lake or something.
I was going to say The Pagemaster.
It is Fahrenheit 451.
Whoop, nice.
Thank you. All right, give us another one, Griff.
Okay, this is in Hollywood history. Was the category on June 6th, 2018, the famous Chinese theater dimmed its lights to honor Jerry Marin, who lived to the greatest age of any of this 1939 group.
1939 group? Yeah, I hate it when the question, I don't even know what the heck they're talking about.
Yeah, that's a
weirdly
worded.
There's a lot of moving parts there.
This is a rough one.
Hey, I didn't write it.
Some distance.
There was a group in 1939.
What kind of Hollywood group? Oh,
the Rat Pack?
No, that would have been the 60s.
Oh, okay.
I mean, hey, you have your own answer.
The last living member died in 2018 and was honored by the Chinese theater by dimming the lights.
And do the 1939 part again, Griff?
He lived to the greatest age of any of this 1939 group.
All right, we're going to go with the Rat Pack just to move this thing along.
I don't think it's the Rat Pack.
Well, I know it's not the Rat Pack, but I don't want to take any more time not getting it right.
Oh, I want to sit in this.
Okay, well, can you give us any clues?
In the not knowing. No, I can't. It's the Munchkins. I don't know how you guessed that, except the Munchkins from The Wizard of Oz. I think.
Oh, 1939.
Oh, jeez.
So lost.
Group, it's the, come
it's the
on.
Year. It's the year. Yeah, that was really supposed
and
to
tip group.
You off,
I don't think of the Munchkins as a group.
No.
What do you think of them?
They're a species.
Excuse me.
Really? If they had
technically,
said species,
yeah.
I would have gone, yeah, I think that it's a Munchkins from The Wizard of Oz. Okay. All right, well, here's our last one.
They sang like two songs.
In physics terms, I got a couple I like here. Okay. Ironically, it's a metaphor meaning a huge step forward. But this two-word process only occurs on a subatomic scale.
Don?
And it's a physics term.
Physics term, subatomic scale?
I have on my nightstand right now a book called No Fear of Physics, and it explains things like this.
Quantum Leap.
Hey.
Quantum Leap! Holy cow! Is that it?
That's it.
Oh,
yes.
We knew it!
Yes.
And by we knew it, I mean Don knew it!
That was another stab in the dark, and yay.
It's one of those things where you say, what's the only thing anybody knows about physics?
Right.
Quantum Leap.
Exactly.
The only thing anyone knows about physics.
I was like, forward.
All right, here's our last one.
One more. I like this one. Remove two letters from within the six-letter name of this capital, and you get the name of a capital of a neighboring country. This is European cities is the category. So it's in Europe. Remove two letters from within the six-letter name of this capital, and you get the name of a capital of a neighboring country.
And this is both European countries?
Yes.
Okay.
It's really hard.
Could I just name any European capital? Would I get points for that?
No, that would not be the answer to the question. No.
All right, Griff.
There's no more A-Rod questions, huh?
Can I do the thing about if you build it, they will come? Because I knew that one.
Yeah, totally.
I'm trying to think, is there an easier one? No, these are all really hard.
Final Jeopardy for
and, you know, I've watched Jeopardy for so long, and obviously Alex Trebek is suffering. He's sick right now, and our hearts go out to him. But I have watched often and thought, wow, Alex seems very smug for someone who has all the answers. But now, in his position, I totally get it.
He's going, well, come on, don't you see?
Guys,
it's so obvious.
You take two letters out of Berlin, and you've got Bern, the capital of Switzerland. If you had asked me the capital of Switzerland, I would.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I would have nailed Berlin, to be honest with you.
So you have to know that, and then you have to do all this wordplay. Berlin and Bern.
Brutal.
Congratulations to James Holzhauer and his very happy dad, who was on TV over the weekend, or this week. It was a sweet story. $400,000. Speaking of really smart things, so without getting into the details, my wife and I needed to book a room in Lafayette, West Lafayette. We're going to be traveling this summer, and we needed to be there. So I went on Priceline because I said, Brenda, you always do the planning. I'll take charge of this. I think with a laptop in hand, I can master the booking of a room in West Lafayette, Indiana. And so, I don't know, I'm clicking around, and a Priceline comes up, and I click on that, I've heard of them. And then I book the room in Lafayette. And then I realized that I'd booked a room in Lafayette, Louisiana. So on the right date, we have a room in Lafayette, Louisiana. We do not have a room in Lafayette, Indiana. Louisiana versus Indiana, yeah. Now, I guess it's West Lafayette. Maybe that should have been a red flag, but I'm just telling you what I did. So then I called the hotel right away, and I said, hey, I just booked a room with this credit card. We're not going to be in Louisiana. The guy said, if you did it with Priceline, we have no control over that. You have to go to Priceline. And then I just found, and then you know that moment where you realize, oh, wow, I now know what I'm going to do for the next couple of hours.
Oh, yeah.
So I called Priceline, which is the eighth ring of hell, and I, and this is fun. When Priceline answers, it's William Shatner's voice, and it's one of those things where it's sort of pretend like it's a real person. Hey, this is William. Glad you called. I'm going to hand you over to Tammy right now, and Tammy's going to work with you. Thanks, Bill. Hey, I see. I'm listening to computer voices. I'm going, please, just, I don't need this. I just want to get out of my credit card bill.
A skit to go with your wait time.
Because it's so funny the way they do those things. I felt like I was on a Southwest Airlines plane, and I just wanted to take off. And so, finally, I get a hold of a human being at Priceline. I go, hey, I use my credit card. I'm not going to, God bless Louisiana, but we're not going to go there. Can I need to cancel that. And they said, here at Priceline, we don't do the cancellation. Bookings.com does. I'm going to give you the number for Bookings.com. I'm like, well, that's a great idea. The hotel can't do it, and the people you bought the ticket from can't do it. It's like a fourth party now to help you cancel that credit card charge. And then when I got to Bookings.com, they said, well, what's your PIN number? And I said, hoobly wuddly. And they said, you need to get a PIN number. So I went back to a Priceline, and they said, what's your PIN number? And I went, whoa, I'm falling into hell. That's what I said. Ooh. So I still have that room if anybody wants to buy it from me on the secondary market. This summer, I've got a Holiday Inn in Louisiana, and it's lovely. Full bar, restaurant, exercise, free Wi-Fi. And I saved 4%, which was really terrific with the Priceline thing.
Not bad. I tried to cancel, and I know you like to tell people to subscribe to newspapers when they can. I did try to cancel a Wall Street Journal subscription.
Yeah.
And very, very difficult.
Yeah, I know.
You can't do it online. You have to do it over the phone.
Really?
Yes. I scoured their, and also it's hard to find where they tell you that you can't do it online. So here I was searching their like info part of the website, whatever, for a while, and then you finally get to this page. It's like, well, you can't do this online. So call this number, and then.
Actually, they only do it.
And then you get some offers, and then for half off, I just don't want it anymore.
A text has just poured in. I can't believe you used Priceline to book a room for one night. I'm telling you, I'm not real good at this. I don't even know that I knew that I was using Priceline, to be honest with you. I just was handing my credit card number to a machine, and then it said, congratulations, you have a room in Lafayette. And I turned to my wife, who I live with, and I said, I got us a room. And she said, great. And then I looked up, and I said, in Louisiana. So I don't know if you have any advice for me. Maybe this has been a cautionary tale, and you're better for it. My number's 312-981-7200. Please call or text. Lots of phone calls and texts to us here at WGN Radio about my hotel dilemma. Many of you telling me things I should have done. Oh, I know there are many things I should have done. Use a prepaid card. Thank you very much, Don. Or Paul. And Don says book through the hotel chain directly. Two good ideas I didn't do. As I don't have a Wayback Machine, though, I just thought I'd tell you where I am now and wonder if you ever have been in this dilemma, what are your options? If you're taking advantage of one of the amazing new car deals around Chicagoland this spring, be sure to also make use of one of the few remaining solid tax deductions and donate your old car to the American Lung Association. They're working to help save lives by improving lung health and preventing lung disease. So go get a great deal on a new car and then put your old car to work by donating it to the American Lung Association. Here's the number to call, 1-800-LUNG-CARS, or visit lungcars.com. It's 1052 on WGN. Now, a couple of you have the same idea. Sue, what was your suggestion? You're on the air. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's on your mind?
I think you should just call the credit card company and they'll cancel it for you.
Al, what's your advice for me? You're on WGN Radio. Hi, Al.
Same. Call the credit card company and cancel it for them because you haven't received your room yet.
I called the credit card company, Al, and I said, hey, listen, I booked a room in Lafayette, Louisiana, and They seem to be lovely people, but we're not going to go there. But the people that I booked it with won't cancel it, so would you cancel it? And they said, my credit card company, thank you for the calls, they said, we can't cancel it until it's been executed. We can't proactively cancel it. So you have to wait until they charge it, and then we'll protest the charge. And I said, well, okay, but that seems to be a bad strategy, doesn't it? Because you and I know that we're going to protest the charge. Why don't we just keep it from happening now? It would be as though, yeah, you're going to have a crash, and boy, we're going to get them after they crash. And I'm saying, no, let's not give them the keys. This was my analogy to somebody I was speaking to on the other side of the globe. And they seemed to be very friendly and helpful, but they said, no, we can't do anything about it. Your credit card doesn't work until after it's been used, and then we protest the charge. And I said, okay, well, that seems to be like a kind of backwards way to do it to me. I said, what are my chances? And she says, I can connect you to that department. And I said, oh, never mind. We'll just wait and see what happens. So that's where I am today.
Have you seen the movie Minority Report, starring Tom Cruise?
Don't know why you're asking me that now, Griffin.
Because they wait. Because they don't wait. It's all about crime fighting in the future. And they stop crimes before they happen.
I'm going to call.
That is the moral imperative.
I'm going to call Chase back. And whoever answers the phone, my first line is, have you seen Minority Report?
But they didn't commit the crime when they were arrested. So you haven't spent that money. I don't know. There's some way that these connect. I don't know what the sentence connecting them is. But you see,
the hotel hasn't done anything wrong yet.
Maybe, yeah.
Until they actually spend the money.
They can't. Yeah, yeah, no. I hear you. That seems silly.
So anyway, I'm thinking about just selling it on the secondary market. If anybody's going to be traveling this summer in Louisiana, I'll give it to you for 50%. I mean, I'll take $45 on a $90 room. We'll wait and see what the credit card company says. I thought somebody had a silver bullet there, though. No, if you do this, then that will happen. And so far, I don't have any hope right now. It's 10:55 on WGN Radio. After the news, the Mincing Rascals podcast broadcast will come your way. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the debate about this Lincoln Yards concept. It's not a concept. It's a vast tract of land on the northwest side of Chicago, which is going to be developed into a multi-use space. It's gigantic. It's expensive. The city gave them a lot of concessions. They're also going to spend a lot of money. And it has really become a debate in Chicago and the surrounding areas. So the Mincing Rascals tackled it. And if you've been a little vague about the details or the pros and cons, you're really going to hear a spirited, short conversation after the news about where that thing is. That's after the news, the Mincing Rascals. Marianne, what was your advice? You're on WGN Radio. Hi, Marianne.
Hello. My cousin had a similar situation. He was supposed to be coming in for the dental convention that February and had booked through some other than the hotel. And after doing a whole bunch of rigmarole, being moved from this one to this one to this one, he finally called the front desk to the hotel and explained the situation that they weren't able to go, and they were able to take care of the situation.
Because that was my first call, and they said, since you booked it through a third party, we can't help you. But maybe I'll just appeal to someone's good graces or logic. Because here's the thing, that room's going to sit empty, which is kind of a shame. Somebody should be in that room. I don't know how they're going to do that.
I know I've had situations, too, where I've booked and, you know, looked at stuff. I'm trying to go to Jackson, Michigan, and they're sending me to Jackson everywhere else. Right. And I'm like, no, I want to go to Jackson, Michigan. And I have to tell you, John, too, I called you a few times for Bright Light, for your thing, and I was telling you about my little cousin who they adopted from Taiwan, and you had told me how you would been there. He's now 10 years old and doing fantastic.
Yeah, my first grade in school was in Taiwan. We lived in Taichung, and my dad was in the Air Force. It's a memorable year of my life. Your family adopted a child from Taiwan. 10 years old now?
Yes. The first time I called you, I was going to a baby shower for him.
Well, then
he's a fabulous bowler and soccer player.
Well, thank you for sharing that, and thanks for the advice. My best to everybody over there.
Thank you, John.
And The Bright Side of Life is a feature we do on Fridays. Folks call in, tell us something good in their world, big or small. We do that Fridays at 2:40. If that sounds cheesy to you or obvious, I'm telling you, it works every single time. Where will you be Friday at 2:40? I challenge you to listen to us then. The news is next. Thank you, Don. This is John Williams. Monday, I'll talk about my nightstand. If you follow me on social media, on Twitter, say, I'm WGN King John. I posted a picture of my nightstand and the books I'm reading. Some pretty interesting reads there. I'll talk about those on Monday. We won't get to them today. We're going to get to the Mincing Rascals, the award-winning podcast we produce here this week with our Steve Bertrand, Justin Kaufman, who does Extension 720 at night, and Patty Vasquez, who's up pretty late on WGN Radio as well. We were kicking around a couple of things, and we'll start here with part of the podcast where we talked about that Lincoln Yards development that Sterling Bay has on the books and that the city is approving. We're going to give them over $1 billion in tax concessions so they can build a multi-billion dollar mixed-use facility on the northwest side of the city at Lincoln Yards. The first voice you hear is Steve Bertrand.
We spent 1.3 on roads that we're going to drive on and bridges that need to be fixed. I mean, it's not like it's going to anyone's pocket. This is for road repairs, rerouting, and infrastructure that will be publicly accessed.
For a dead space right now, basically.
Right. I mean, you can argue against it, but it's not like it's going into their pockets.
I just feel like we're getting to this point where the only way the developers, like everybody else in this world, are getting to a point where they're like, we can make money. You know what I mean? It's not anymore. And so these mega developments of 78 and Lincoln Yards, you're talking about completely changing the way our city works. And the Lincoln Yards, you're talking about two or three 60-story, 50-story buildings along the Chicago River. There are the tallest building on the north side of Chicago right now in that vicinity is where the Roby Hotel is at North Damon in Milwaukee. Now, that's that old kind of corner building right there.
Okay,
that's a small building.
With a great rooftop bar, I might add.
Sure. Nice. But imagine that's 14 stories, and maybe, eight.
And has an unobstructed view eastward to the city. It's amazing.
I'm telling you.
What do you order?
Manhattan.
So my idea that's the Finkelsteel is what this is all about. You remember that, the steel plant there?
Yeah, sure, Blagojevich had his party there.
This is that space. And there's been a lot of talk about what to put there. And the plan that came forward is a plan to mega size and completely build a city that could be its own city somewhere.
Mm-hmm. I'm disappointed in you, Justin. Yeah. I really am, because I think, you know, I'm sick and tired of the city not doing big things.
We do tons of big things. Look around you.
Make no small plans.
Make no small plans. Thank you, Daniel Burnham.
What expense?
Well, you tell me, what's the expense? What's the cost?
The expense right now is beyond the $1.3 billion.
We're going to lose the hideout?
No. But there's something to be said about the communities that are just east and west of there. And you talk about Bucktown, Wicker Park to the north. You have Lakeview to the Lincoln Park to the west, to the east. Those communities will change because of the influx of people. I think they're talking 60,000 or so people that would be employed and living in that area. Think about the Kennedy that comes in
there. What do you want to go? What do you want?
Manageable and what I consider to be smaller development.
How do you compare Wicker Park today to what it was 20 years ago? It's completely transformed.
Absolutely. But to me, it stayed in the fabric of the neighborhood.
Not if you lived there, I bet.
No, but if you had a house at on Winchester and you got that house and someone developer came in and bought it, they built another house on top of it. They didn't build a 40-story new building.
What are you thinking?
No, I'm just wondering what other plans were proposed before that. Will we ever know? Were there any smaller ideas? But I don't know. That's a foregone conclusion. This is the direction we're going.
They were
going
to put a ping pong bar in there.
An idea. Yeah, I mean,
Lori Lightfoot on the record opposed this, and she wants to make sure that this is taxpayer
and she
money.
Stood on that for 48 hours.
She delayed the vote. She turned around yesterday and said, "I'm good with it. I got my concessions. We're good to go."
What happened there? I don't know. Were there some concessions?
They increased the number of DBEs, which the disadvantaged businesses.
Yeah, they did.
But it makes me wonder how much more would have been available. I mean, how much more they were willing to give. She got that pretty fast.
I want this to happen. Mm-hmm. Okay. I was in London in October, and it would be like this, you know, in this great growth and development. I want to see this city doing big things. So I was discouraged when the finance committee held up the vote on Monday. But it looks like she caved.
Literally, she turns it over to her floor captain and says, okay, in 48 hours, hours, that'll be enough time for us to hear both sides. I was surprised by that.
I just wonder. I wonder if it's political strategy, because you want to be a winner. And they had the votes. So if Lori Lightfoot says, I want to delay this, and they go ahead and the aldermen say, you're not my boss.
Right.
And they
right.
push
they
this
anyway.
Through. You start your tenure week. You start your tenure where a city council essentially flipped you off.
They might have done it without her.
I would have been okay with that. If I voted for Lori Lightfoot and she stood firm and the right before her tenure, Rahm Emanuel tried a little sneaky move to
That's
make
your
this
agenda.
Happen.
That's you would your
make,
agenda,
no, no.
Justin.
You would say, okay, she's right. Now she can sweep these guys out. Look, they just tried this in the middle of the night. They tried to.
They didn't win the middle of the night.
You've got somebody here who wants to put billions of dollars of private capital into the city. This sounds a little bit, but less to me, like what happened at Wrigley Field. Or I'm trying to think of other areas in Chicago where somebody wants to put private dollars in, and you might not like what it's going to do to River North or Wrigleyville or whatever, but it's private dollars going in, and at some point we'll learn to live with it. We'll be okay with a 50-story building a little bit west of Chicago.
But it's $1.3 billion in infrastructure.
I thought that's what this conversation was going to be about.
That's
more
crazy.
About the fact that those TIFs, this $1.3 billion,
yeah.
were originally conceived to help blighted areas, help spur development
right.
where it might not otherwise
Again,
happen.
Again, Lori Lightfoot ran on the idea of TIF reform, and here
this,
we are.
This is going to happen either way. This
right.
is going to happen either way.
With no adjustments on the TIFs, I think that's a problem, too. And you're right. That was something that she ran on. And I talked about how possibly, you know, considering getting rid of that.
My concern was that it was going to turn into an Amazon HQ2 thing. That the new administration was going to come in and look like they were so leftist and progressive that they were going to thumb their nose at a big development in the city. I think that would have had long-term damage for the city.
But I think Sterling Bay wouldn't have run away the same way Amazon did. I just don't. That's just my impression.
You think they would have downsized it? Which is what you wondered about.
Right. I wonder how much more was left there to give.
Why do we need $1.3 billion in taxpayers' money?
Have you ever tried to drive east-west
yeah,
on Armitage?
Absolutely.
It's very difficult.
It's very difficult.
Man, you know, that's
and
one
it's going to be difficult for 15 years now
that's
when it
one
goes
thing
to one lane.
Oh, and afterwards, I mean, that's one thing.
Yeah.
The density in some of these neighborhoods is getting away from us. And my friends who've lived longer in Wrigleyville complain about that. Now, I'm new there, so I'm used to it. They go, it didn't used to be like this. It doesn't have to be this way.
It's crazy.
Patty,
and
I want you to get
because,
an herbal
and then Brian
tea
Hopkins
for my
got
friend.
It.
Here.
I'm out of here.
He's
going to buy the first
you
condo.
yeah, that's right. If you have a condo
anyway,
in that place.
I want to know the deal that was made, just like the book Boss back
okay,
in the day.
Okay.
What deal was made to get the South Side and West Side aldermen on board and emphatic about this Lincoln Yard?
Speaking of conspiracy theories, Attorney General William Barr says he's curious to see if the FBI did, in fact, spy on the Trump campaign. That's the way I put it. Do you put it that way?
No, I don't. I do not put it that way. He said there was spying on a presidential campaign.
I think spying on a political campaign is a big deal.
You can find a soundbite to support you, but it came about 20 minutes later.
Well, they asked him about it again. They said, Mr. Barr, he said, we're curious about the language you're using. That raises alarm bells when you use that kind of verbiage.
And he said...
And it is my understanding...
I'm not suggesting that those rules were violated, but I think it's important to look at that.
He said that eventually, but at first he said, yeah, there was spying, and then there was a female, it was a woman senator, it was Shaheen, I think, from New Hampshire, and she said, do you mean to say that? He goes, well, there was spying on a presidential campaign. I take that important. I take that. He said, and we have to look upon what it was predicated
right.
and see if it was justified spying. John, the CIA is in charge of spying. I promise you, no director of the CIA has ever testified before the Congress that they spy.
Right.
That to use that word was so dismaying to me.
Why did he do that?
Because he wanted, I don't know. I really don't know. Because
he wanted
I want
to give the president something to tweet.
I want to have faith in this guy, but he bought right into the Donald Trump's. Someone said yesterday he traded in
it's
his.
A talking point.
He traded in his tortoiseshell glasses for a tinfoil hat.
I think Nancy Pelosi put it well when she said, you're not the attorney general for the president, you're the attorney general for the people of the United States.
That is such a pejorative term and word, and for the attorney
the word
general.
Spy bothers you?
He's talking about the FBI agents who work under him, the deputy attorney general who works under him and signed off on this stuff. And he said there was spying on the presidential campaign. Dot, 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 dot. Now I want to see if it's justified. No one's going to hear that. And I just think he deliberately, and the senators from both parties, I'm playing the part of Justin on this issue.
No, I like it.
But the senators from both parties invited him to walk that back, and he didn't do it.
So you're not suggesting, though, that spying occurred?
I don't, well, I guess you could, I think there's a spying did occur.
So we don't disagree that the federal government was listening in on or investigating the Trump campaign.
I think that's been pretty widely reported. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Because they had an interest to see whether or not there was any sort of cooperation with the Russians. Right.
Right.
I mean, that's why they were doing it.
And why did they start that? Because they had the Greek was drunk in London with George Papadopoulos.
Yes.
I mean, that's how it started. It
at wasn't a bar from, with an Australian
it wasn't from
ambassador.
Some. It wasn't from some and, eavesdropping. It was from a drunk in London.
And I think the talking points go beyond spying. You see, now President Trump is talking about this being illegal.
Should Lori Loughlin, Loughlin go to jail?
Sure.
And then we went on to jail.
Martha Stewart
and then we went on to that topic. So that's sort of a sample. And I had to edit out some of Justin Kaufman's stuff because he just got riled up and Bertrand was egging him on, or maybe it was the other way around. But that's the Mincing Rascals. By the way, I noticed that the Rascals have not agreed on how you pronounce L-A-U-G-H-L-I-N. We use Loughlin and Loughlin collectively, but you know what we're talking about. The question became, should Felicity Huffman and Lori go to jail? And there were differing opinions about that. The Mincing Rascals, wherever you get your finer podcasts. Guys, the news click at WGNradio.com yesterday said baseball season begins, A, too early, B, the season begins just right, or C, it should begin even earlier. Where are we on this?
They didn't have a later option?
Well, that means,
so
let's see.
Too early would be your answer then.
Too early, yeah. It begins too early. I would rather it start later.
Yeah.
And 7 out of 10 said it should start later.
Well, I would say so, but but that's more of me just feeling like the season in general is too long. Now, that means that it should end earlier too, I think.
Oh, yeah, right. No, this is more predicated on the weather.
I don't really, you know, yeah, sure.
That's what I was thinking.
But I don't really care as much about that. The season's too long.
You're going to be at the game today. It's going to be 60 degrees and sunny. Answer it after Sunday's game, Griff. Tell me how you feel about that then.
Exactly.
7 out of 10 said the season starts too early. 28% said just right. Okay, speaking of just right, White Sox baseball. Jimenez had 2 home runs yesterday. Sox won again. We've got our pregame coverage coming up next on WGN.